often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 620. I am your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox Penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder's in the other room. Not by my feet. I'm looking around. I'm pretty sure he's still in the other room. Looking out the window. Pulled the blinds up. Let him look out. I was almost talked into... He may be getting a friend. I was almost talked into it last night. I might get... I'll get into that in a bit. Not really looking to get, you know, another animal to take care of, but it might happen. It might happen. I might cave soon. We'll see what happens. Another mouth to feed. More cleaning of the litter box. You know, more destroying of the furniture. We shall see. It is the weekend of 4th of July. It's actually the 6th as I'm recording this. As I am at nearing the end of my 4-day weekend. And, man, I gotta say, like... Every time, like, I get time off work, which I don't really take vacation days because they've had so many days where they shut the plant down and I need to burn vacation days to make up for that loss of income. And every time, though, I get, like, a big long weekend, there's long spans in between breaks like that for me, and then when I finally get one, man, I just feel like shit when it first happens. Like Thursday on the 4th, I didn't do shit. I ran a little bit, and that was pretty much it, man. I slept most of that day. I just didn't feel well. I was just fucking tired. And, man, I just need like a solid week off. Can't afford to do that, though. Can't afford to do that. Don't have the vacation time. Can't take that big of a hit in pay. And, yeah, so I'm just, I had planned on hopefully, you know, doing a lot of constructive things this weekend. It hasn't happened. And, tomorrow's like my last day off. I'm recording this fairly early, which, initially before this weekend hit, I thought, oh man, I should be able to, I didn't have any, like, plans other than, like, I was going to go watch the fireworks at my friends John and Megan's house on the 4th, which they ended up doing on the 5th. I thought maybe at least Friday to have an open day, and I fucking didn't do jack shit on the 4th because I didn't feel great. I was tired. Although, had they done the fireworks then, I would have went out that night probably. But I went out yesterday and drank too much. By that, I mean I had several drinks. It doesn't take much to make me not feel great the next day and whatnot. Tonight I've got to go to Jackman's because their friend Sarah's birthday is today. And so we got to go over there and there's going to be drinking involved. I don't really want to drink again, though. I don't want to drink. No, sir. I don't feel like drinking again. It's 4th of July weekend, and I did watch the fireworks last night. I guess I'll go into that. Like, yeah, I went over to John and Megan's. It's Megan's birthday is the 5th, so it worked out that the fireworks were actually on her birthday. As well as Muffin Man's birthday was yesterday, of course, too. I messaged him. I didn't really talk to him, but other than some texts, I went over to John and Megan's there, and I filled my Yeti cooler with some Cayman Jack and several ice packs, and got some Cuban sandwich Lay's potato chips, which are pretty good, but I ate way too fucking many of them. I just about killed them off now, but and there's only like one size bag you can get, and it's a fairly large size bag. I got that in a Sun Chips bag when I went over there, and they cooked hamburgers and brats and some hot dogs. I had a hamburger and like two brats, one or two brats. I don't remember. Because I had two brats. And had some cake. Man, that hamburger was really good. It had like cheddar and like bacon inside the burger. I could have done without the cheddar, but the bacon inside. Mm. And they just burst in your mouth. It was like juice, just like as soon as you bite in, just squirting all over inside your mouth. You know what I'm saying? Just spraying the inside of my mouth. Just, ugh. Gushing. Anyway, I went over there, of course. Megan Foster's cats. I guess I'll get into that. There is a certain kitten over there that she's really trying to sell me on. That will, as of right now, has all four legs, I should point out. But one leg is Parker is the name of this cat. This male cat she has, named Parker because the kitten was found in a parking lot. I mentioned it should be like Peter Parker, like, you know, Spider-Man. Anyway, Parker's got like a bum leg that sounds like it's getting amputated here soon. But Parker's too small, only like a little over 1 pound. Needs to be 3 pounds before they can have that much weight before they can give it anesthesia before doing surgery. And so Parker will be losing a leg. And Megan's really trying to sell me on this one, on giving Fox here a friend. I don't know about all that. Feel bad for the kitty and all, and a lot of times I think, you know, it would be good for Fox here to have a companion. Because I'm not home a lot. And when I am home, he's connected to my hip. And it does seem that on the nights when I am not here, you know, I go to work and then I'm also, like, gone for the night. He gets, you know, a little upset about that. And so, you know, having a little friend for him, I figure it might be a good thing for him. As he's walking in, he's hearing me talking about him. And, but then again, I don't know how well he'd react to that, too. It could be good. It could be bad for him. I don't know how the two would get along. Also, he's, anytime there's food, any kind of food, like, he immediately eats it. Like, he doesn't, you could fill a bowl of food and he's going to wolf all of it down for the most part. Sometimes he won't eat all the food and he'll come back later and eat the rest of it. But for the most part, if there's food, he's going to eat it. So I don't know how the food situation would work having two cats. I feel like that's just not going to work real well. He's just going to snarf it all down and not let the other cat having any of it. That'd be a real big problem. I'd probably have to go back to manual feeding and stop using the automatic feeder. As I could see this being, you know, a bit of an issue. And it kind of sucks. You know, I have it set up to where he does get like a small meal when I'm not home. I have it set to where he gets fed in the morning right before I get up. And then, so hopefully it doesn't bother me so much in the mornings. And then, I have like a meal at like 11:30, like when I'm, you know, generally at work, unless it's the weekend, my one day off. and I'm here for that. But, and then I'll have them get fed like right before I get home. So there's, it's also my theory too, you know, like feed him, don't feed him at night. So that way he's not, you know, bouncing off the walls at nighttime, even though cats are nocturnal. I figure he probably just won't have as much energy if I don't give him like a real meal at nighttime. And he does tend to sleep with me, so. See, it seems to work good. Also, having a young kitten around, I feel like there's going to be a lot of bouncing off walls. And there's, you know, I'm torn between, you know, having another one and not. It's but there's also a lot of cats, you know, that need homes. She's got quite a few kittens over there right now, and the shelter's like over full. So I mean, there's the moral dilemma there. I don't know. We'll see. Parker's like an orange, all orange kitty. His fox, of course, is white and spots of orange. So I'd have more orange fur around. Mainly, I get the white fur because Fox here has got, you know, predominantly white. So I get white fur on everything. So wearing black is just not a great idea. Not that I've been very fond of wearing black clothing anyway these days. I don't know. I just don't like going outside mainly and just getting cooked extra when wearing really dark clothing. And I used to wear black all the time. That used to be my thing. Because I used to wear that black Sabbath shirt all the time. It was black. I don't know. I just got tired of wearing all dark clothing. you know, there's so many other color shirts you can go with. It's a good experiment. Anyway. Yeah, wearing black clothing now, though, is just really not a great idea with having a cat with white fur. It's probably best to just have all white shirts. Like I used to wear at Magnet when I worked there. All white shirts. It hides the cat hair. Well, that'll be a little different if I get a second cat that's just nothing but orange. Then I'll have white and orange all over me. Theoretically. So maybe if Parker comes here, he's not going to want anything to do with me. He's just going to be hiding all the time. And then, you know, I don't have to worry about the... that's a part of the thing, too. Like, if he's got a buddy, is he going to just care about the buddy and not me? Or is, you know, they're going to be... Is Fox going to feel like I'm betraying him? Is he going to not care about me as much? In that sense, is he going to feel let down? Because, like, he's my compadre here. He's my ride or die. So, you know. Having another in the mix could fuck that all up. Could fuck a beautiful thing up. I don't want him to get the wrong impression here. And then also, if he doesn't feel that way, I mean, he could just, like, all of a sudden not give a shit about me and just, like, I'm going to hang out with this cat. This cat's way cooler than you are. Way cooler. But it would give me, you know, another three-legged cat once Parker there has the amputation. You know, that would be great for strangers to find out that I have, you know, multiple cats missing a leg. That'll totally give off serial killer vibes, you know. what I've always wanted is people to think that I'm a serial killer. Which, you know, I feel like there's probably a good chance my neighbors kind of think of weird shit of me anyway. Because, you know, I don't go out and talk to my neighbors, so that's... Why not give them more ammunition to think I'm psychotic? Hey. I mean, it would be funny just for a moment to have somebody come over, like, that didn't know me very well, and then just to realize, just to see that moment when they go, oh, is your cat missing a leg, you know? But I feel like I'd probably tell them beforehand because I just... Probably, I don't have much to talk about these days. We'll be like, yeah, I have two three-legged cats. But, I mean, it would be kind of funny to get somebody over here that didn't know, and then saw the one cat and be like, hey, is your cat missing a leg? wait a minute, are all of your cats missing a leg? And to see that reaction when they realize that, you know, I've got multiple cats missing a leg. I believe it's the same leg, too, that the bad leg there on Parker that's going to get amputated as Agent Fox Mulder here. I could be wrong on that. Could be wrong. I had a good time over there at the Megan and John's, though. I didn't walk away with the cat yet, but we had quite a few friends from the run group over there. And the fireworks were pretty decent. Like, especially the closer that they had was pretty good there. It was, I think it must have been a good year for the city, because it seemed like they spent some money on it. There's been a few years where it was like, oh man, that was like during like the, I guess in 2020, I didn't go to the, I don't know that they had fireworks. I feel like they probably didn't have it that year. And I remember watching it in like 2021. And it seemed like that year, like, yeah, we don't have much money for this. I think that might have been one of the years. There's definitely been a few years where it was like, oh, they didn't have much of a budget for this one. I feel like they had a fairly nice budget, as it was a nice little show there last night. And over at John and Megan's, they had the field behind their house. They started knocking down trees and everything, I guess, because there's the lot there that I guess somebody bought, or they're going to develop in some way, which kind of sucks for them to have, you know whatever is going to be there. But it gave us a great view to sit in their backyard to watch the fireworks, which in the years past we've had to sit out like near the street to watch the fireworks. Last night, of course, we got to sit in the backyard, and I got to feed their pony a bit of a carrot. Before I fed the pony, though, I went up to just, it was nighttime, and I'm guessing his vision's not the greatest, but I put my hand up to his mouth to let him smell me, not thinking that, like, oh, he probably thinks I have food, and he bit my hand pretty good. I mean, he didn't hurt me, like, break skin or anything. He's like, oh, yeah, shit, I wasn't expecting him to bite me. I was like, he realized real quick, I think, that I did not have a carrot in my hand. But then I was able to feed him a carrot, as Megan was giving him a carrot. I was like, hey, can I feed it to him? So got to feed Eb a carrot, as Eb does not like fireworks. He gets a little worked up during that. It seems like he's not as bad as like in years past, or when they first moved over there. Man, he lost his shit with the fireworks. I would imagine like a lot of pets don't enjoy the explosions a whole lot. I know Fox doesn't seem to bother him a whole lot, but like, I know I don't know how he did last night, because, you know, I showed up quite a while after the fireworks were done. But on the 4th, there was quite a few people letting stuff off, and it seemed like it was bothering him after a while. There was all these explosions. But, you know, I was here to lay with him and calm him down, as he's laying somewhat close to me right now. He's soaking up the sun, getting some rays in. But yeah, he doesn't get too freaked out about it. I know there's some animals that really do not like that shit. Which, you know, it's a rough week for him, I would imagine. I remember living over at Jackman's, and, of course, their cat, Doom Kitty. I think he's afraid of his own shadow, but any kind of loud noise sends that cat through the roof, man. I would imagine with all the fireworks, he was not having... You probably won't see him all this week. He is hiding somewhere. No one can find him. As the cat is scared of fucking ceiling fans, man. And to the best of my knowledge, he's never had an incident with the ceiling fan, but you turn a ceiling fan on, he sees the fucking shadow of it, and he loses it. Whoa, get the fuck out of here. That thing's coming for me. That's the only cat I've ever seen scared of a ceiling fan. I've had some cats that were afraid of some shit, but that is... Doom Kitty's a special breed. Real special breed, that one. But, yeah, that's basically how my weekend's gone. Yeah, I feel like I could sleep at least another, like, 12 hours. Well, I guess I didn't really sleep a whole lot last night. The alcohol made it very difficult for me to get any sleep. I eventually did sleep a little bit, but, it wasn't much. And, I really don't feel like going out tonight, but, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. Just hope, I'll probably take at least, like, one more nap before going out. I gotta drive to Forestell, too, before that. Anyway, yeah. The Boys, the last episode of that, pretty great. I'm not too crazy about how they're going with Butcher. Spoiler alert if you haven't caught up on The Boys, but the Butcher stuff where he's seeing different people and turns out it's just that he's seeing his, you know, dead wife and Jeffrey Dean Morgan, which are turns out just versions of himself talking to him. Which we knew, you know, his dead wife. Obviously, he was hallucinating that. But the big reveal in the last episode was Jeffrey Dean Morgan was also a hallucination. And turns out that's, like, the bad part of Butcher is Jeffrey Dean Morgan. It's very Fight Club-ish thing going on with him and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. But the stuff that I did enjoy is the fucking boofing. Oh, that was something. There was of course, The Boys is gonna do boofing. Oh man, it's let's see here. No. Boy, putting boofing in The Boys in internet search is not. Is not a good search because apparently it's a lot of guys and their boys like to do some boofing, and that was a bad Google search on my part. Anyway, yeah, so, they have, a bit in there where, they're trying to infiltrate this meeting that, Homelander and, which, I don't remember if they knew Homelander was going to be there, but, it had, like, all these, big wigs in this meeting. And they decide they're going to pose as Webweaver, who's got an invitation to this party. Who I believe he was in, was it season 3? I think he was in season 3. I think he was in, like, when they had... there was the orgy. I want to say he was involved in that orgy in season 3. I could be wrong. But they end up do some boofing with Webweaver to get him to pass out for 2 days. And then Huey ends up pretending to be Webweaver at Tech Knight's party. I feel like I'm trying to see if there's a wiki here on The Boys. It says his powers and stuff. I don't care about that. I just, you know, Webweaver's very much into S&M shit. Anyway, yeah. The great part of that episode, though, is, you know, Huey pretending to be Web Weaver and Tech Knight just fucking forcing him to put his naked ass onto a German chocolate cake and then just like fucking the craziness that goes on there. That was pretty good. The fucking boofing, man, with Web Weaver. Her mother's milk helped him boof. But there was some great stuff with Homelander in it too, where Firecracker turns out that she's been taking some stuff to get herself to lactate. That of course, I mean, if you've watched The Boys, you know that Homelander, I guess because he didn't really have real parents and shit, was brought up in a lab. Had, you know, mommy issues and loved to drink mommy milk. And Elizabeth Shue's character, who was running Vought, like, in the first season and whatnot, he would drink her milk when she was breastfeeding and whatnot. Now Firecracker's doing it. She's breastfeeding him, and there's a great scene where she goes to show him that she's lactating. And it seems that she's just getting naked for him to fuck her. And he's like, you know, I'm not sexually attracted to you. And then she's like, oh, this isn't about that. This is about loyalty. And then she squirts milk into his face. And the look of just like excitement on his face is so great. He just got shot in the face with milk, and then she proceeds to breastfeed him. that was truly I mean, hopefully I didn't ruin it for anybody, but great scene. Great scene. As now I'm gonna have that visual just stuck in my head. I'm not, you know, I'm lactose intolerant and not big on milk. So, you know, I usually don't get too excited. But there's something funny about Homelander and the breastfeeding. It doesn't turn my stomach like I guess normal milk would. And I'm looking for, I imagine there's probably only a couple more episodes of this season. I think that was like episode 6 or 7. I'm not really sure. But I would imagine they probably only have like 8 to 10 episodes. I think their seasons are all that long. Yeah, I think season, I would say I prefer season 3. I mean, the Soldier Boy stuff, that shit was fantastic. That stuff was fucking off the chain. But, you know, this season's got its moments. It's got its moments. I think it's really picking up. And I'm definitely looking forward to... but again, I think season 3 was definitely the better the season. And just I think the best season so far. Which it looks like, I guess this season's going to be, yeah, it's going to be 8 episodes. They've put out 6 of them so far. So there's 2 more episodes going out. And so I would imagine the next 2 are going to really pick things up. Really pick things up. Does seem like the Acolyte is getting a little bit better. Still not crazy about the show. It's not getting me overly excited about Star Wars. I would like to see like Andor season 2. And I really want to see the Mando movie. As I don't know that there's any other shows coming out really really this year. I'm trying to look up here. I think this is updated as of May. So it's been a couple of months. There's no movies expected out this year. Next movie's not set until 2026. I guess that's probably, yeah, the Mandalorian Grogu movie. Those movies are just starting production this year, and those things take for fucking ever to to actually make. The Grogu one's due to release as of right now, May 22nd of 2026. So we got a while on that one. And I guess the new Rey movie. That one is pushed back to December of 2026 at the earliest, so we probably won't even see it then. See, The Acolyte. Skeleton Crew. That one's coming out still this year. With Jude Law. It's in the New Republic era. Following a group of kids who get lost in the galaxy following a discovery made of their home planet, Jude Law plays an unnamed Force user, and the style has been compared to Amblin Entertainment. John Watts and Christopher Ford are the creative helm of Skeleton Crew, with John Favreau and Dave Filoni serving as executive producers. There have been reports this TV show will release around Christmas of 2024, so we got a little while yet, and that looks to be the only shit that's coming out. Yeah, they don't... Not much on the Star Wars front. I'm guessing that Andor Season 2 is probably... Which I believe that there's only supposed to be one other season of that. I would venture to guess it's probably going to be put out next year sometime. There's another article here. Still, that article says the same shit. As far as I know, there's not going to be another Kenobi season. Let's see here. There's just Reddit shit talking about that. There's articles saying Lucasfilm hasn't technically canceled the series as of yet, but they're not in a hurry to pursue another season either. It's looking like that's probably not a thing. As there's an article on The Direct saying, will more episodes ever release? Says here on this article, Obi-Wan Kenobi Season 2 recently received a disappointing release update when Disney launched physical steelbooks for several streaming originals, including the Jedi series along with Andor, Moon Knight, and The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which this article is fairly recent. It was the end of May, May 25th, so it's a little over a month old. While every other show was packaged as the complete first season, Obi-Wan Kenobi found itself labeled as the complete series, seemingly implying there are no plans to renew the show at Disney+. Kenobi was originally billed as an event series set to run for only 6 episodes, which was reflected when the 2022 awards season rolled around as Obi-Wan Kenobi was submitted and nominated in limited series categories. Lucasfilm president Kathleen Kennedy spoke about the show's season 2 chances with Variety in April of 23, telling how the project is not in active development but offered a promising never say never. That's not real promising. Series star Ewan McGregor previously revealed his hopes for another go-round as the Star Wars Jedi to Disney Studios Awards, revealing he loved the Disney Plus experience and hopes they get the chance to do it again. Even Obi-Wan Kenobi director Deborah Chow told The Hollywood Reporter how she does not believe season two is off the board, as Ann McGregor was even already pitching her ideas for more on the set of the freshman outing. While it appears Obi-Wan was truly conceived as a one-off six-episode season, many of the key creatives needed to reignite the show for season two appear to be on board with returning to that world. So the attitude to season two across the board very much seems to be a never-say-never one, meaning the potential is there for it to happen eventually. This will only be furthered by Obi-Wan Kenobi's status as one of Disney Plus's most viewed original series, which is bound to have Disney executives and shareholders hankering for more episodes to come to the service.
There's no plan. I mean, you would think it'd be a no-brainer. I mean, with everybody that's basically involved with that show, it was like, fuck yeah, let's do it again. And it being that big of a hit that they would want to do that. And
I would, you know, I am quite interested to see what they do with season two of Ahsoka, which I'm pretty sure, I mean, that one is going through for a season two. But obviously, you know, one of the big villains there, Ray Stevenson, passed away in real life. So that, I guess this article here is talking about, them, yada yada yada. This is not talking about that. Article on InsideTheMagic.net says here: Ahsoka season two. Little is known about Ahsoka season two. Presumably, the series will pick up directly from the end of season one, which saw Ezra Bridger united with Hera Syndulla. Yada yada yada. Ba 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 ba. We'll get to the recasting. Here we go. The trio also faced former Jedi Baylan Skull and his apprentice Shin Hati, played by Ray Stevenson and Ivana Sakano, respectively. While the finale set both of these characters up for new arcs, Baylan Skull discovered the statues of the Mortis gods, and Shin Hati joined the bandit group on the planet and suggested that Peridia was just the first stop on a new intergalactic adventure. Future is now uncertain due to the tragic passing of 58-year-old Ray Stevenson last May. Ahsoka Season 1 left Baylan Skull's story open-ended, and now it seems that the Star Wars franchise will recast the actor for the upcoming sophomore outing. According to entertainment scooper Daniel Rickman, Lucasfilm is actively searching for a white man in his 50s and 60s. Where will they ever find one? There's just not enough of them around. There was only one Ray Stevenson, though. Man, I fucking love Ray Stevenson. His Punisher movie, that fucking thing was fantastic, by the way. I believe I've mentioned that a lot on this podcast. His Punisher was fantastic. Punisher Warzone, if I remember correctly, was that one. But, this report came after Filoni spoke about recasting Stevenson's role in 2023. Obviously, there's a story there. Filoni told Vanity Fair in November last year, "We're in a wait-and-see pattern at this point, but I'm glad the conversation is about Rey and how great he was." The Lucasfilm darling went on to add how he used to have many debates with the actor. "Rey, you're the villain here," Filoni recalled, and he'd be like, "I don't think so." I was like, "I know you don't think so, but you are. I love that you're playing it like you're not," which is exactly the way Baylan thinks. Aside from the initial second season announcement, no further information, including Baylan Skull's future, has been shared. It is also unknown whether the Star Wars show will debut before or after Filoni's own New Republic movie. Prior to the announcement of Jon Favreau's The Mandalorian Grogu movie, Filoni was tapped to helm one of three new Star Wars projects announced by Lucasfilm. Yeah, anyway. But yeah, no word on who is going to replace him, but it sounds like they are trying to recast him. So if you're a white man in your 50s or 60s, you got a shot. Big shoes to fill, though, as Ray Stevenson was quite good. And quite good in that character. I did like, it really sucks, you know. That show seemed to have a lot of promise, and like having a heavy hitter like Ray Stevenson in there, and just a strong character. I mean, that's gonna be a hard one to fill there. But you know, there's other shows that have had actors pass away that did a pretty good job. There was the, I believe it was a Starz show that did Spartacus several years back now. That famously, the lead actor that played Spartacus, I do not know his name off the top of my head. I did look that up. Here it is right here. The name of the show went on from 2010 to 2013. So yeah, it was over a decade now. I believe the one that passed away was Andy Whitfield. I think he was the one that died. Pretty sure he was the original Spartacus. He had some form of I don't remember, it was leukemia. What exactly he had? It was like some form of cancer. There was a documentary. I don't remember if I watched all of it, but there was a documentary about his battle with it too. And if I remember, I might not have been able to watch it all because it's just kind of rough to watch, man. But he was a really good Spartacus. But they were able to keep that show going. I mean, they had some good people. I mean, it would have been a lot fucking better had they been able to keep him. But yeah, unfortunately, oh man, he died on September 11th, too. 2011. 39 years old. He was fucking jacked too, man. It's much like Chadwick Boseman, the Black Panther. I mean, that dude was fucking ripped for playing like Black Panther, you know, and yet still his, you know, the inside of his body was fucked all up with cancer. And man, he looked so rough at the end. Seeing those little videos of him at the end was just, man, it was sad to watch that shit. Anyway, that's a dark road I don't really need to go down. trying to segue out of cancer and death is always a hard one. I guess it's somewhat easier than last week, talking about just pedophiles with the Dr. Disrespect. Thankfully, there's no more news on that front. I don't. Other than I'm gonna venture to guess he's probably not going to go back to streaming. Though, you know, very, very, very well could. He could end up doing that. And the internet's shown that he's still got a lot of supporters out there, even though he admitted that he was at least sexting a minor. I don't know that he ever went any further than that with any particular minor, but there was at least one minor where he was sexting, and he was well aware that she was underage. Don't know what that age was, but it was under the age of at least 18. At least younger than 18, which, is 18, like, how is that just too high of a, you know, a bar to pass? Like, what, how, like, I just don't get that. Like, you know, people are going to look at you morally wrong if, you know, you're like in your 30s and you're messing around with an 18-year-old. But it's still, you know, it's at least legal and not considered a child anymore. I mean, you could at least, I mean, I don't see how even like if you're, you know, in your 30s or 40s that in the 20s, like, how's that not even? We're like, no, I got to go younger. Like, what the fuck, man? You got some problems. If that's what's going on there. The doc needs some help there. And not the kind that the internet can help him with. There's professional help needed there. But anyway, yeah. Trying to think of other stuff. Man, my energy level still. I should have probably pounded some caffeine before this. As Yeah, I'm really tired. I don't really think I've only gotten like 2 or maybe 3 hours of sleep over the course of last night. As yeah, I tried to, but man, whew, it is it's really, I'm really feeling it now. I'm really feeling it as I'm getting closer to that hour mark for recording today. And yeah. I know that I guess on different news subject, I have still yet to buy another guitar. That is that's not happened. I keep watching the stock though of the inventory at Guitar Center on the DG335. Is the Dave Grohl Epiphone. That I'm going to eventually get. That I'm looking at trading in my Epiphone Riviera for. I have finally gotten to a point. I currently own 8 guitars. And it is starting to get to the point where it's feeling a bit ridiculous having that many guitars because, you know, playing that many, and I'm not going to play that many guitars in one day. I don't play my acoustics very much at all. The 12 string, almost zero. You know, I definitely have 2 electric guitars that I almost never touch. They're my older ones that I keep in like kind of odd tunings. And that, I don't, now that I got 2 Gibsons, I really don't have, feel the need for those. But my one Strat, my nicer Strat, I barely play that one anymore either. And though I like having it, I like having it there, but I feel like I should be playing it more. But I will get that Dave Grohl guitar, damn it. It's going to happen. But I've managed to, like, yesterday I did play quite a bit of guitar for, like, probably a couple of hours. I did play 3 different guitars. That's like really playing some guitar, though. I mean, swapping between 3 guitars. The 1 Epiphone and the 2 Gibsons. I want to really make sure that I practice up on some Foo Fighters because I still plan on, if I get the Dave Grohl guitar, I want to do it physically in person, go to, I mean, if the local guitar shop here in town got one, I'd love to go get it from there. I'd prefer to go local and like a smaller shop instead of like a Guitar Center. But I'm willing to bet that like if they get it, it's probably not going to be for a good long time. Guitar Center, though, I have seen it in stock at one Bridgeton location. It was briefly in stock. Man, I almost drove up there because I want to play it before I get it, and also there is the fact that even trading in the other guitar, I'd still have to pay probably at least like $600. And so there's, you know, some hesitancy there, although I'm starting to really get some money in here lately with the overtime. But I'm holding out. I'm holding out. Also, I kind of feel like if I go and play it, you know what, maybe I won't like it as much as the Epiphone Riviera. And then I decide not to make that trade. I find it doubtful, though. I find it really doubtful that I would prefer the Riviera over it. But again, I haven't, like, physically touched it and played it and whatnot. So there's, I would imagine, though, that just the pickups alone would be something I would way prefer because those are Gibson USA pickups. They're the Burst Buckers. And the Alnico Classics is basically what's in that Epiphone Riviera. I think it is like Epiphone's version of that. And I just don't really care for those pickups. I would prefer a Burst Bucker, and I don't see the point in me buying some Burst Buckers and putting them in that guitar. I would prefer to probably just get the Dave Grohl guitar. Because, I mean, I love the DG335. It's basically a Trini Lopez with a stop bar tailpiece. bridge instead of, well, I don't know. It's not really a Bigsby on the Trini Lopez, but it's a different kind of bridge on there. But, I mean, it's got the burst buckers in it, and that's almost enough, because that's like a $300. If I were to buy the burst buckers, that's like $300. And it's also has the more expensive electronics on the inside. So you got your Gibson potentiometers and your orange drop capacitors, that sort of thing. And that stuff, I mean, with that and the pickups, that's almost, I mean, not quite $600 markup. Which, I mean, if I bought it brand new, I'm not going to get brand new prices out of my Epiphone Riviera, but it was like $900 brand new. Whereas the Dave Grohl one's $1,300. So that's a $400 difference. I mean, that covers that difference. Just the electronics alone is mainly what that's like covering. But there's some nice stuff on that Dave Grohl guitar. And I just really want to see like with the tuning keys, because I know that's one thing I really don't like on the Epiphone Riviera. Very small tuning keys. It's really annoying to try to tune the fucking thing. And just those pickups, man. Those pickups. I feel like the Dave Grohl is going to really address many of the problems there. And I'm just such a Foo Fighters fan. I'm not an old Gallagher fan, which the Epiphone Riviera is a signature of. I like some Oasis stuff, but I'm not like a... I wouldn't call myself a fan. I'm not listening to Oasis all the time and just super excited anytime like Noel Gallagher releases any music. Yeah, not saying I think it's shit or anything. I mean, enjoy some of it, but I'd way rather... I mean, I love fucking Dave Grohl. I mean, if I were going to meet somebody, if it was going to be Dave Grohl or fucking Noel Gallagher, I wouldn't even, like, bat an eye. I mean, it's going to be Dave Grohl. And, I might tear up. I might cry. I might cry meeting Dave Grohl. I mean, I've been a fan of his since, you know, like, junior high-ish. Like, because that's, like, about the time I really started getting Nirvana, and my cousin Jason had... he was the one that really started introducing me to Nirvana. He gave me a tape of Bleach, their first album, which Dave Grohl's not on. Just a fun fact. Chad Channing was the drummer at that point. And, I mean, that's a great fucking album. I still love... That's one of the two albums I have on vinyl of Nirvana, of course, that, and then Nirvana Unplugged. That is very much Dave Grohl. But it's around the junior high days when I started getting into Nirvana, and, like, I think I got into more of the look of Nirvana before really the music, which seems like what the kids nowadays get it, because, you know, there's so many shirts that are still sold of, like, Nirvana shirts, and I think so many people that wear that are just unfamiliar with their music, but I became, you know, a huge fan of their music. And then I mean, you can't go wrong with the Foo Fighters. Foo Fighters, as Christopher Walken would say. Oh man, just looking at that guitar, it feel wrong, though, to have that Epiphone on the headstock and not Gibson, and not have a nitro finish. Is it? It did seem like at first maybe they were going to do another Gibson USA run, or a Gibson USA run. Previously, it was just a Gibson custom shop run of the DG335. I have yet to see anything other than the initial time that Cesar, the Gibson CEO, had announced, he had like a Q&A on Instagram where just ask me anything, the AMA, where people were asking him questions, and somebody asked if they would do like an Epiphone or Gibson USA run. of the DG335, and he's just like, that sounds like a good idea, or something like that. I forgot what his reply was. Like, holy shit, sounds like they're going to be doing it. He basically confirmed. I didn't specifically say that it was going to be a Gibson USA run or Epiphone run, but then it wasn't too long after that that they started teasing the Epiphone stuff. But I have not seen any teasing of another Gibson DG335 run, which, honestly, I mean, if I did find out that they were going to do a Gibson run of that, there'd be a good chance I'd be like, you know what, another year or two from now, I might have to buy that. I wouldn't be able to buy that anytime soon, but I mean, I guess I could always buy the Epiphone, and then if they do release a Gibson further down the line, I could trade in the Epiphone and get a nice chunk of change out of it to have it go towards a Gibson, which at this point, I mean, I got enough guitars I can trade shit. I'm not trading either of my Gibsons. Those are going to have to pry out of my cool dead hands. Man, they're just really... That SG, man. It's really hard for me to say which Gibson I prefer. I mean, I feel like it's my children. And trying to pick a favorite is tough. I love the Adam Jones Les Paul. But man, that fucking Tony Iommi SG Special. She's nice. She's real nice. And I've just never played a guitar like that, you know. And I guess I had that kind of feelings when I had the Adam Jones LP. But I've had that one for like 2 years now. Been playing it pretty much every day for those 2 years. But I had another Les Paul. And it was, you know, quite a bit of difference playing the Gibson one compared to my Korean-made Epiphone Les Paul. But I never owned an SG before, I guess, is the crux of it all. And just having this Gibson SG is just like, holy shit. It is such a joy to play. And there's so much stuff that's just so easy to play and just sounds so good on it. Not everything sounds good on it, but I was been playing, yesterday I was playing Harp, song, Barracuda, which I believe Nancy Wilson is, playing, originally in that recording. I want to say she's playing an SG, if I'm not mistaken, but, hers, I believe, had a Bigsby on it, so she was able to do that vibrato shit on there, which I do not have a Bigsby, and I'm not really a fan of them. I feel like that shit just, it's unnecessary. Fucks with your tuning stability. Start doing that and you gotta fucking tune the thing again. Barracuda. See here. I want to say... Roger Fisher. I guess he was the other guitarist for Heart. I want to say... Well, I guess there's a 66 Fender Telecaster, but I thought at least Nancy had a... SG. It's using a... I guess this is a... There's definitely... there's a... I'm going to have to watch that video later. There's a tone video on it, but... yeah, I'm not really sure... Like what? I'll hit the there's a Hit the Tone on Barracuda, which I'm gonna have to watch that. Do you think that's Tomans that does those videos? I could be wrong. Yeah, which I want to say, I could have swore though that there was a
Let's see here. SG. Maybe if I put SG in there. Let's see here. Oh, there's a Barracuda SG. I want to say that they definitely... I could have swore it was an SG. Anyway, it sounds... Whether or not there is or is not an SG in that fucking recording, he definitely, with that Tony Iommi SG, I can really get some good Barracuda sounds on there, which you just throw... I mean, they're using a flanger on there, which I got... I don't know if it's the same flanger that they're probably using. I think the... theirs probably predates the one I have, although the one I have is from like the... I think it was put out in the 90s, which that Barracuda came out sometime in the 70s, like 77 or so. So I'm guessing there was a much earlier flanger. I don't know if it was a Boss, like maybe their first go at it, but it, I mean, I can hit that tone with that, was it PF2 or whatever. It just sounds so fucking good. Playing that with that fucking damn flanger and everything. And of course, Eric Clapton's Woman Tone, the stuff he did in Cream. I haven't tried White Room, but Sunshine of Your Love definitely sounds great. You just go to the, neck pickup there, and then drop the tone all the way out of it, and bam, you got that Woman Tone. That was what he called the Woman Tone. I forgot why he called it the Woman Tone, but he played an SG for while he was in Cream, and I mean, I imagine you can do it on an L. I've tried it on other guitars, but it just sounds right on an SG. Though he didn't have P90s, and it was some form of humbucker that was in his SG, if I'm not mistaken. But you definitely can get that Woman Tone rocking out there. I want to say, I'm looking, Nancy Wilson, I want to say she had an SG. Yeah, she did. Okay, yeah, there's, yeah, she had a U.S. Marine Corps sticker on the back of that. She had it for, I guess, at least the live showing of Barracuda. Because she just, 2 years ago, I guess, auctioned off that guitar. I wonder how much that went for. Pretty sure I couldn't have afforded it. It have one P90 in it. So that would explain why I would be able to get it to sound a bit like hers. Because I am rocking a P90. It does say here on this GuitarWorld.com article that she was selling off at this point. I guess this is before she sold it, so I don't know what it sold for. Following the footsteps of Peter Frampton. Oh, I want to know how much it sold for, damn it. Yeah. How much did it sell? I guess I don't know. it's still on there. Still on Reverb. I wonder if it... $100,000. I don't believe it's actually sold. So, I mean, if you want Nancy Wilson's SG with Bigsby, owned by Nancy Wilson of Heart there, it's $100,000. Whew. See, it does show a little bit about the story here on Reverb. It says, the Gibson SG with Bigsby is owned by Nancy Wilson of Heart. This guitar became Wilson's axe of choice for live versions of Barracuda. It also became well known by Heart fans for the two Marine Corps stickers on the back. There are dings, dent scratches, and scuffs all over. The lacquer is completely worn away in a few areas. A few pieces of the pick guard have broken away, revealing how red the guitar once was. There are also some additional cracks in the pick guard, as well as some warping.
There's a giant Marine Corps sticker on the back, as well as a "Support Our Troops, Not Those Who Misled Them" sticker. Oh, right on. This guitar feels absolutely fantastic, and there is no question as to why it was so beloved by Nancy. Super comfortable neck, and the single pickup sounds killer. Oh, it contains Brazilian rosewood, so domestic shipping only. Given the high value amount of this instrument, we will likely explore more precise measures of shipping. Because of this, the shipping cost is inflated to ensure the safest means of travel possible. All items of the official Nancy Wilson of Heart Reverb Shop ship fully insured with delivery confirmation. Each item will include a certificate of authenticity that is embossed and signed by both Nancy Wilson and Definitive Authentic CEO Brad Mindich. Yeah, apparently no one has bought it. Which I'm surprised. I mean, Heart was a very big band. It's cool. Cool little piece of history there. Oh man, the tuning keys look. Are they intact? This picture. Oh, yeah, it's just a old tuning key. It's not a. They didn't take the greatest pictures of that guitar for Reverb. They're on a white background, and the tuning keys are white, so they look like they're almost non-existent. I won't be buying that guitar. I just want to point out, I am not going to, unless I, even if I win the lottery tonight, I'm not going to rush out and get the Nancy Wilson SG. I love SGs and all, and I do enjoy a lot of Heart songs. Not enough to spend $100,000 on her guitar. Now, if it was $100,000 for like a Hendrix guitar or something, which I feel like it would be a lot more money than $100,000. Well, you know, it would be like one-off thing. He touched this guitar one day, which that wouldn't be real fucking cool. I'd want it to be he played it at a show at least, or a recording. Something of that nature. I'd have to have just insane, stupid kind of money before I'd start buying guitars like that, even if it was like Hendrix or something. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars before I'd be like, you know what, I'm going to spend $100,000 to like $1 million on a piece of wood. I don't know. I'd feel weird about having an artifact like that. Like, I wouldn't be worthy of playing like that. I'd have to, like, if I were going to get an instrument like that, okay, I'd have to dedicate myself to really learning the instrument and just have, like, nonstop classes on it and be like, I'm going to dedicate myself to where I can honor this... this magical instrument. I just remember watching a video of Josh Homme playing George Harrison's, I believe it was Rosewood Telecaster that he had during like Let It Be. And he got all choked up and he's like, some things just aren't meant, you know, you're just not meant to like touch. I forgot what he said, but basically just like, you know, he just felt unworthy to play like George Harrison's fucking guitar. And, you know, I could see that if I touched George Harrison's guitar or like Hendrix's or something of that nature. Definitely, you know, ones that have passed on like Harrison and Jimi Hendrix. I feel like if I touched Tom Morello's guitar, even though I know that, you know, I'll never be as good as like Tom Morello playing guitar or anything like that. But with him currently still being alive, I feel like that there's not quite as magical, because like I could just go to some event he had and like, you know, he might have just played a guitar and like play it. Whereas like Hendrix, like there's only so many guitars out there that he has touched that are still left out there. And, you know, same with like a Harrison and stuff. So that just makes it so much more magical. Now, if Morello were to pass away in the next, you know, week or so, and then like I come into cut, I might feel differently. Either way, I don't see myself ever spending a fortune on a instrument like that again, unless I've just got fuck you money where it's just coming out of my ass that I'm printing. My ass becomes a money printer. It's just a mint. I don't see that ever happening. So, until then, I will continue to just think spending that kind of money on a guitar is just absurd. So, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.